Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Jesus is ending or concluding his Sermon on the Mount, and he concludes with this parable. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will compare him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will compare him to a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and the fall was very great. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. We want to talk just a few minutes about the solid rock. The solid rock. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it is again that we come to you in prayer this morning, thanking you first of all for everything that you've done, for who you are, and the many things that you brought about in our lives through our relationship with you. God, the most important thing in life is that we know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. And Father, I thank you for that this morning. But then, God, we thank you for the things that you've added. The blessing of this day, waking up with health and strength, being able to clothe ourselves, and Lord, to come to the house of worship. And while we're here this morning, Lord, we're praying that you'd move upon our hearts and move in our minds and our souls, that all that we do would bring honor and glory to you. Lord, we bring our families before you this morning because there are needs there. Speak to their hearts, God, and draw them close to you. But most of all, Father, get the glory out of everything that is done. For Lord, the glory belongs to you. It does not belong to us. But right now, God, move in a mighty way that we, your people, might indeed go out of this place filled with the Spirit and joyfully sharing the things that we've seen and heard. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen and amen. The solid rock. Jesus had spoken to the congregation or the group of people that had gathered there on the mount. And as he concluded his message, he spoke to them concerning a house. And he said, now, the one that is wise, the one that takes in my word and does it, I will compare him to a man that builds his house on a rock. That man builds his house on a rock. But now the one who hears my word, notice both hear, but the wise do. The foolish one who builds his house on the sand is like someone who hears but doesn't do anything about it. And then in both cases, he says, the rains came, the wind blew, and it beat upon that house. The one that was built on the rock stood. The one that was built on the sand fell. Now, right now in your mind, you're probably picturing what we're talking about. Houses have to have a foundation. They have to have something that they stand on. That foundation is critical, even though the house may not be as elaborate, some are more elaborate than others, but every house, if it is going to stand, has to have a sure foundation. Now, the question that you and I ought to be asking ourselves today as we listen to this and as we reflect on this, am I standing on a solid foundation? What about my spiritual house? Where am I standing when it comes to God and my relationship with him? Do I hear what he says? Or do I ignore what he says? Do I think that living by my own priorities is more important than living by what God would have me to do? Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you that Jesus was not only talking to the crowd that day, he's speaking to us today. And he's saying to us, examine your foundation. Examine what your life is built upon. Now, the term house has been used to describe different things, but the people in Israel grew up in a culture where the house really meant a lot. Now, we use the word house. They use the word Beit or Beth. If you think about Bethlehem, it was called the house of bread or the house where God supplies bread. They use another term, Bethsaida, which is the house of mercy. Bethzur was the house of the rock. These terms meant something to the Israelites because they knew that abiding in the wilderness without a shelter, it was a hopeless situation. If there's a storm that comes, you want to make sure that you've got a place over your head, a roof over your head. Today in our nation, we have a tremendous homeless situation where people don't have a place to stay. I noticed on yesterday, two people holding out a sign and they were saying they were homeless. A lot of people are hurting, and I believe that it's because, you know, we realize that people make mistakes in life. But beyond the mistake, there ought to be people who will be that house of mercy, the Bethsaida. The place where people can come and find refuge. Bethel was the house of God. Our church is a house of God. We realize that God meets us here. He speaks to us spiritually. He helps us work through our problems in life and our difficulties in life. But every house has to have a foundation. If it doesn't have a foundation, the house will not stand. Are you with me today? So what I'm asking you to do is really make sure that you are built on something that is solid, something that is secure, that will not fail with time. A rock is pretty solid. A rock is something that it's endured for ages, and even if you break the rock, it still has its place, and a little cement can put it back together. You see what I'm saying? So the rock will not fail. We're told in the book of Daniel, one of the revelations of Jesus Christ and who he is, that he's the rock hewed out of the mountain. He's the solid rock on which we can stand and build our lives. And not only was the rock hewed out of the mountain, but anything that comes to that rock is broken. And that says to us, if we put our trust in God, if we come to Jesus as the rock, our life is broken, but he also puts us back together the way that he wants us to be, the solid rock, the solid rock. You know, I see something happening in so many of our houses of worship, our Bethels, that there are so many people that they're coming and they're wanting their needs met that they forget all about God. They want to get their miracle. They want to get their blessing. They want to get their joy. They want to get their happiness, and they forget all about God. God says, and Jesus even brought it out in Matthew 6:33, that if you seek first the kingdom of God, the rock, all these other things will be added unto you. In other words, if we come together and focus on recognizing God for who he is, all your joy, all of the peace of mind, the forgiveness, the strength, and everything that you have need of in your life, he will supply because he's the rock. But if the rock is not there, if the rock is not in the place that it ought to be, no matter how many blessings you get, no matter how much joy you might receive today, if the rock is not there, eventually your life will fall apart. That's a message for me, and that's a message for you. Because a lot of us will go about, I got to be busy about doing this. I got to put this together. I got to get this done. And you forget all about the foundation that your life is built on. And so Jesus concluded everything he said. Everything he said, the whole Sermon on the Mount. He said, I'll tell you what. Those who hear what I'm saying and do it, their life will be built on the rock. And when the storm comes, not a matter of if, when the storm comes, how many of you all have been in the storm? So you know what I'm talking about. When the storm comes, you have an anchor that is steadfast and sure. Let me tell you something about what happened to Israel. Then we've got to go through a few little points in my message this morning. What happened with Israel, and even comments on it in the book of 1 Corinthians, they forgot about their rock. They forgot about their rock. Now, think about this. You go into your house, and you turn on the light, and you check to see if your lights are working right. And if they're not working, then something happened, all right? I won't get into the details, but something happened. You'll sit down in your furniture, make sure that everything is there, but not many of us check the foundation. I don't go downstairs and see if the foundation is there. All the while, a foundation could be cracked. What I'm saying to you in this life of faith, you must check your foundation. And the foundation is very simple. Are you and am I obeying Jesus? Simple as that. It's not complicated. He tells us things. We ought to follow them. And the question is, not do you know them? That's not the question. I didn't ask you, did you know what he said? I'm asking you a deeper question. Are you obedient to this solid rock? That's checking the foundation of my life. I have to check it. No one can check it for me. See, I can put on a mask. I can put on clothes, and I can get in my Sunday best and get on that spiritual attitude and think about God for at least a little time because I need him to do something. But am I doing what he said? What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about your spiritual house. Your spiritual house. The house foundation is important. If a house does not have a foundation, it will not last. Amen? Second thing is, we're going to test it. Now, how are we going to test it? We're not going to go down and send an inspector or somebody who has a license and tells you, okay, here's a checklist of everything is wrong. No, that's not the test. Jesus said, no one is going to give you a test. You don't have to worry about the scribes or Pharisees coming and asking you, do you remember this or do you do that? No, the test will come with the storm. When the storm comes, it's going to test what you really have. You'd be surprised what people do under pressure, even preachers. You'd be surprised. Amen. We're playing golf about a couple years ago, and we're in the tournament where they have the Christian golf tournament, and this guy came up. I didn't ask him for it. I didn't tell him who I was. He said, I'm a preacher. I said, okay, good. We're going to have a great time. So we got teed off, you know, and tee off is not where you get mad. It's where you hit the ball, and it goes down, you know, down the fairway. So we teed off, and this preacher, I didn't ask him for it. Didn't hit the ball right. And he didn't say, oh my God. He did not say, wow. What came out of his mouth was a four-letter word. And Jay and I, we kind of stepped back and looked and said, wow. When you're on the fairways of life, trying to move forward in the will of God, trying to do what's right, or even just trying to live. I'm just trying to survive. Or what a lot of you have heard you say, I'm trying to hang in there. Something bad happens. Not if, but when. Something bad. What is the first thing that comes out of your mouth? That's the question. You're facing the test. And then you got to look at the solid rock. God knows that this life was not meant for you to survive on your own. That's the good news. He knows that. You don't have to come and tell him, well, I didn't know you put all this in my pathway. I didn't know you were going to make it this difficult. He already knows what you're going to go through, because life is not to test you alone. It is to show that you're standing. I started to stand in the pew, but I'm not going to get dramatic. On a foundation. When the storm of life comes, it's not a test of you and your strength. But is our God able? And the only way that you're going to say that God is able is to know that he brought you through. Now, a little while ago, I asked you how many of you had been tested. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you came out of that test with a testimony? Amen. Yeah, you knew that if it had not been for the Lord, you knew that if God had not walked with you through it, you would have lost it all. But he held on to you. Now, granted, you may have got bent, you may have got broken, but you made it through, amen? Amen? And the Lord brought you every step of the way. And that's basically what we're saying today. You've got to make sure that you're looking at the foundation. What is your house built on? The wise man built his house on a rock. Wise. Which meant he did two things. One, a person who builds their spiritual house, they know what Jesus said. They know it. They know what he said. He promised me he'd never leave me nor forsake me. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. They know it. The question is not whether you know it. If you got a Christian diploma on your wall, the question is, are you going to do it? That's the wise person. The foolish person, he knows it too. Wow, did you not know the devil can quote scripture? He was in heaven, got kicked out. He knows scripture. So don't ever think that you're going to be impressed. Oh, our pastor, he can quote scripture. That's not the question. The question is pastor walking in the will of God? Amen. Amen. Now, admittedly, I know that every day I fail. That's why I got to go to Bethsaida, the house of mercy. See, that's why I got to ask God, have mercy on me, and God will do it. He will pardon us if we'll ask. Amen. So I do that. I do that on a regular basis because I know that I need his grace and his mercy. I want to be wise and not foolish. Amen. And every time you say to yourself, this is my life, you know what? April Fool. Yeah. Or I'll do what I want. You don't do what you want. I don't care how old you are. I'm 3 times 7. So you can multiply. That doesn't matter. No one does what he wants, because if we wanted to, we'd just stay home and rather than going to work, right? We would just think that life is going to give us something. And how many of y'all know that life doesn't give you anything? Or if it does give you something, it's usually not what you want. Or if it is what you want, it's not enough of it. Amen? Amen. So we thank God that we don't have to be foolish. We can be wise. The Bible even tells us, be wise as serpent, but gentle as doves. Foolish man. Here's what God said. And there were people who were listening to Jesus. The Pharisees were among that group of people. They were going to listen, but they weren't going to do it. They're not going to do what Jesus. No, no, no. We're the authority. We know what we're doing. Really? And Jesus said to them, now, if you want to get the most out of life, you better make sure your house is on a good foundation. Ah, what happened? Storm. How many of you wish these didn't happen? Sure, man, you wish a storm would never come. Every day would be sunny. But you know what? I heard an old singer that said, it got to be rain in your life for you to appreciate the sunshine. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but I know what? There's rain in our lives. Amen? Amen. there's rain in our lives. The storm is going to come. The rain is going to descend. The winds will blow. And if your house is on a rock, it cannot and it will not fall because you're anchored in something more secure than yourselves. So it proves us, it tests us whether or not you're walking with God, whether or not you're really living and doing the will of God. The storm came. I don't know your storm. You don't know my storm. So often we forget about obeying God's word and we get to judging people. Well, if I was them, fact is, you're not me. And I can't look at you, but I tell you what I know I can do. I can pray for you when you're in your storm. That's what church is all about. That's what this fellowship of saints is all about. We're praying for one another that God would work in their lives, that God would complete that which he has started in their lives. Philippians 1 and 6. God's going to be faithful. He's going to do his work if we simply hold on to him. Now, I want you to reflect here before we close. Your storm. Don't know what it was. Don't know when it came. Don't know whether you're still in it or not. But what's God doing? Where's God? Now, if you can't find him, if you can't locate him, I'm going to tell you how you can do it. He's just a prayer away. If you call on Jesus, he'll help you through your storm. If you call on, and that's what Jesus was saying. Now, notice the reaction of the people when they heard Jesus speak this prayer. They said, he speaks with authority. Because what the scribes and Pharisees would do when they'd end their statement, they would either say, well, I've said what I needed, and the people would applaud. Oh, that's a great speech. Jesus said, no, the applause is not going to get you off the hook. You got to do this. James puts it another way. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if we knew the impact of what the church could do, if we knew the impact of how powerful this thing called the church really is, and that the fact if we did what Jesus said, we could turn the world upside down. We've done it once. Amen? We've done it once. That song, Revive Us Again, it wasn't by accident. Because we've not been called together as a bunch of weaklings huddle every week and, well, let's see if we can get blessed for one more week. We're not beggars, amen? We're warriors. We're the saints of the living God. We're the people that love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And what Jesus was doing was equipping the saints. Because he wants to work through us and not just for us. Man, that's a deep one right there. And if we could get out of this mindset, God's just following us around with a little towel saying, what do you need today? How would you like to be blessed today? But he's our Lord and master. If we can understand that if we follow him and do what he commands, not only would we experience personal victory, but folks around us would start getting blessed. You would start seeing people gravitate to you. What do you have that I don't have? And you could simply tell them, it's just Jesus. I'm taking him seriously. I'm living according to his will, and I made it through the storm. I got a testimony that God can bring you through, that the Lord can bring you over. All you got to do is keep your hand in God's hand and then be ready to serve him when the Lord calls. Amen? Amen. The house stood. The wise man's house stood. How is your house today? Are you rocking and reeling? Are you falling down? I got good news. Anytime you choose to, you can take God at his word and he'll put you on that solid foundation. It's just that real. Now, to make sure that I know what I'm talking about, check your pulse. And if you're still breathing or if your heart's still beating, yeah. I'm a candidate. Anytime we get ready, we can call on him and he can put our house on that solid foundation. Am I making sense to you? Because we talk about the storm, but Lord knows Monday morning is coming. How many of y'all have those terrible Mondays? I stopped confessing blue Mondays. No. I have a Monday where God is moving in my life. Amen? I don't have blue Mondays, bad Mondays, sad Mondays. I've given it to the Lord. Why? Because it is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The house stood. And you and I, we can stand if we put our confidence in the living God. The Lord loves us and he wants our house to stand on that solid rock. You've got to believe and trust in the Lord, because the house test is not what you know, but it's what you do. The house test will come in the time of your storm. The wind and the waves and the rain cannot stand against this solid rock. I thank God for the storm that he brought me through. I thank God. I used to complain about, why am I going through this? But then when I knew I had a captain who could pilot every storm, that I had an anchor that was steadfast and sure, I stopped being afraid and said, Lord, thank God you're on board. Thank God you're in my life. Thank God you're going to keep me despite all I'm going through. Thank God for Jesus. That ought to be your testimony today. The solid rock. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for your grace and glory. Thank you for what you've done in our lives and how you've blessed us, Lord, in marvelous ways. And I'm praying, God, you touch someone's heart. Help them to put their house on a solid foundation today, to trust in your word and to know that you're in full control. We love you and we thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Going to extend the invitation. If there be one today, we invite you to the solid rock. We invite you. Come to know him who knows you better than you know yourself. Embrace the truth, and the truth will set you free.